Hey, good morning, Believers Church. It's great to be with you guys again, and happy Mother's Day. For all of the moms out there, thank you for pouring into our lives. Even for those of you who maybe don't have biological kids, thank you for pouring into my life and pouring wisdom into the rest of us. We love you. I wish we could be here today to celebrate like we normally do, but we'll just deal with it the way it is. If you're joining us from another church, welcome. You just need to know that we pray for your church and for the churches in our county, and for them to continue to do well as we walk through this time online together. Let me give you a quick announcement. We had a goal, and I'll take a few minutes to do this, to start next week back in person. Unfortunately, it's just not going to happen. This week, I met with our trustees, local pastors, and even our overseers, and began to talk it out. And the truth of the matter is, as bad as I want to be here and come back, it's just not time. Let me give you the why, and I can hear your collective sigh from here, from right there in your living room as you watch. The why is to change from an online format. It would have an effect on our dynamic. Part of who we are here, a big part is, and I know I got great messages and they're powerful, but that's not what I think is our dynamic. Our dynamic is when we come together and we gather here in this room, and we gather in the kids' church and the nursery, and we've got a group of people worshiping together, rubbing elbows together, doing life together. That's what makes us better, and it's also what makes us effective. And I don't want to lose that. My heart is when we come back, I want to come back full throttle. And if we go to some sort of half service, we don't have kids' church, we don't have nursery, we're going to lose a lot of you who I know would want to come. We also, you guys are doing such a great job of reaching out. Let me just be transparent with you. Our numbers are up. We've got more people watching. We're reaching more people with the love and the hope of Jesus. Your generosity is up. And so what we're going to do is we're going to continue on this online format through May. When we get toward the end of May, we're going to reassess. Listen, don't hold me to this, but my heart is that no later than June the 7th we'll be back. Again, don't hold me to that. I hesitate to even give you a date because we don't want to change it on you. So that's our plan. We're going to stay as we are through the end of May, and then we're going to reassess. But this dynamic of us coming together and just having people that maybe can't come, or we have to break into so many multiple services, there's very few people in the sanctuary, we just can't accommodate more than about 30 or 40 people once we start socially distancing in our facility. And I just don't think that would be as strong. And I don't want to lose the momentum we have now. So that's our plan. We're going to come back full throttle with nursery and kids. We'll do it in wisdom. We'll make decisions based on wisdom and faith. Again, we're not in fear. We'll take precautions. We may have to hold off on the coffee. We'll, instead of giving hugs, we'll give maybe an elbow bump. We'll keep our distance and do the things we need to do to come back safe. But I want to come back full throttle. And again, I wish I had a date to give you, but I just don't. We're missing a lot of stuff we do in the spring, and it hurts my heart. But when we come back, we're making plans now to even try to make up some of that, of the things we normally do through April and May. So know that. I wish I had a firm date for you, but I just don't. So hang in there. It's coming soon. Because Believers Church, you're awesome. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Keep being the church. Keep loving people. And let me say this too. Your generosity has not wavered. Your generosity has just blown me away. We are doing well, and we're going to keep doing well because God's got our back, and we're going to come out of this stronger than ever before. Now, let me jump into our message. We've been in this series called Running with Jesus, one of my favorite series because we get to talk about heroes in our faith. We've talked about Noah. We've talked about Moses, and we're taking it from this scripture. And it's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we're surrounded by this huge crowds of witnesses of this life of faith that we run here on earth. And the idea is, what if these heroes could come down and run a lap of life with us? Like I said, we've done Moses and Noah. Last week, we did Josiah. But this week, I want to introduce somebody who I think who's very applicable to today being Mother's Day and applicable to the situation we find ourselves in now, having to be patient, having to wait. And her name's Sarah. So let me tell you Sarah's story. God promised Sarah's husband, Abraham, that he was going to have as many offspring as there were stars in the sky. Because as they got older, past childbearing age, they had not had kids. Sarah had not had an heir to Moses. This lineage would become the lineage that Jesus comes from. But there are a couple issues. First, the son that God promised, from the time he promised it to Abraham, it would take 25 years. She had to wait 25 years. So after 10 years of waiting, Sarah comes up with her own plan. She sends one of her servants, her maidservants, to go father a child for her husband because she was fearful that it would never happen. She came up with her own idea, the next best thing. So she sends this servant, and it creates problems that actually the world still deals with today because of what decisions she made back then to try to do her way to get to God's promise. So after she sends the maid in, 15 years later, these three guys show up at their place. A lot of people think they were angels. There was a visitation of a prophet, at least. And they begin to tell Abraham, hey, we're going to come back next year, and you're going to have that son that we promised. Here's the funny thing. 90-year-old Sarah, when she hears this, she's standing behind the tent and she's listening. She laughs within herself. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 18. This is out of the Message version, Message translation. Actually, it's a version. It's not really even a translation. Genesis 18, 11 and 12. It says, Abraham and Sarah were old by this time, very old. Sarah was far past the age of having babies. Sarah laughed within herself and said, an old woman like me get pregnant with this old guy? Yeah, right. So not only did Sarah laugh in this story, she then was confronted by Abraham because God heard her laugh and told Abraham, why is your wife laughing? And in verse 8, or chapter 18, verse 15, Sarah was afraid, so she denied it to Abraham. I didn't laugh. But the Lord said, no, you did. So just as God said, 1 year later, Isaac was born. Again, Isaac and this line would be the line that Jesus would come from. So here's Sarah. Actually, here's a lot of us today. What do you do when you can't understand what God's doing? What do you do when the waiting is getting overwhelming? Trying to be patient. This is our 8th week being online. By and large, I can be patient, but this is hard for me. I'm losing my patience to get back things to some semblance of whatever the new normal is, to get back seeing you guys face to face, for you guys I know to get the kids back in school, get family life back to normal. What do you do when patience, trying to wait, when it's time is overwhelming you? So let's ask Sarah that question, and here's what I think Sarah would say. First, I think she would say, don't complicate God's promise with your own solution. That's exactly what she did. She waited 10 years. She didn't think it was going to happen. Then she tried to figure out a way. Some people would say to manipulate God. We do it all the time. God, I'll do this if you do this. If you'll come now, I'll do this. And we do these things to manipulate God. And it's really what we're doing. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 16, verse 2, as it goes through the story. It says, so Sarai said to Abram, God changed their names later to mean father and mother of many. Essentially, he added the Ham to the end. The Lord has prevented me from having children. In other words, it's God's fault I'm not having children. And this is where she sends the servant. Go sleep with my servant, tells her husband this. And perhaps, in other words, this is my idea. If God's idea is working, perhaps my idea will work. And go have a child through her. And here's the funny thing. Abraham's complicit in this too. Abraham said, well, okay, sounds like a good idea. And he's the Bible calls us the father of our faith, the one who had faith and trust. And he still said, well, if it's not going to work this way, maybe this will work. You see, Sarah was trying to get her promise with her own idea. And it created all kinds of issues, not just for them and she and their family, but throughout history. And like I said, even today. It just comes down to trust, trusting God. And right now that gets hard because time makes trust hard. You lean more on faith. You lean more on the things we can't see. What the Bible says is faith is hoping and trusting in things that I can't see, but I know are true. I think Sarah would say, trust even if it takes a long time. There are things in my own life I've been praying for some 17 years now. Haven't seen it yet. I go through times where I waver, but I'm not giving up. I know God's promise is true. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 7. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And don't worry or fret when other people succeed, when they do wicked things and seem to succeed. See, we got to stop trying to speed God up. And you can't do what's after this, comma. You can't wait patiently until you just be still. Stop trying to move the pieces of your life around and make it fit. Follow. Listen. Sarah was moving things around, trying to get the things to work that she had promised that she initially didn't even believe. She laughed at. But you'll see after she sent her servant in 15 years, she began to have to trust God. Then she even laughed when they said, oh, I'll be back in a year. I'm at 90, and you think I'm going to have a son. And the Bible says a year later, Isaac was here. You see, the truth is, God rarely does things like we think he should. The Bible actually says that our wisdom is foolishness to God, and God's wisdom to us is confounding. In other words, we can't compute it. It just jams our gears, and we don't really understand how God does it. But he always does. And he doesn't always do it. Look what the New Testament says, that our wisdom is foolish. You see, here's the problem. Here's what we need to do. Here's why I think Sarah would tell us too. You got to trust God and focus on what's happening in you, not what's happening to you. You see, a lot of us get so focused on, God, you're doing this to me. God's making this happen to me. People are doing this to me. And that's just not true. One, I don't believe God put this pandemic on us. That's not what a loving father, a saving father who sent his son for our health and our strength and our eternity. But you better be assured, the Bible's very clear, but when we go through stuff, whether it's of our own doing or attack of the enemy, the Bible says God can teach us something. He can get us better. We can learn from the situation we're in. He can not only encourage us, give us faith, give us grace and mercy, but he can help us. And he can make us better. I think Sarah would say, I had to stop focusing on what was happening to me. She had to sit and watch over all these years. Other families have kids. Other people succeed. Well, God, why not me? If you really think we're going to be the people you count on, why not me? Why is all this stuff happening to me? Instead of taking a look inward, okay, God, teach me. So when I get to that point, when I get to where the time comes, I'm ready. You've taught me something. That's why we say here that everybody's got one step to take. We want to take one step from where you are, one step closer to where God wants you to be. How many years of our lives have we wasted not taking our steps because we're so focused on what people are doing to us, what they're saying about us, and blaming God for what you're doing to me? And the truth of the matter is, with God, he's not doing anything to you. We live in a nasty world with bad things happen. But the Bible says he can turn those for our good and not only teach us something, but also turn them. I believe this whole thing for the church is going to be a positive. When we come out of it, we're going to be better than we were before, reaching more people than we were before. And Sarah lost a lot because she focused on what was happening to her instead of letting God do work on the inside of her, happening in her. You see, it's hard to hear, but God really is more concerned about our character than our comfort. We don't like to say that. God wants to change us from the inside. He does not put sickness on us, but he wants to develop character in us. His character in us. That's the bigger picture for God. Because where we live here now, is the Bible says, is just a breath, a wind. And he's developing character in us. Because the major part of our existence is going to be in eternity with him. Learn something in the waiting process. The Bible says in Romans 8, 24 and 5, that this is why waiting does not diminish us. It's talking about a pregnant woman, that when a pregnant woman, she's waiting. The fact that she's waiting doesn't diminish her. She's going through a process, letting the baby grow, letting the baby develop. Well, the same is true with us and God. It's not diminishing you to wait. I believe it's God making us stronger, God making us better. There's nothing in the Bible that says with all of this, we have to understand God. He does. The Bible says he gives us understanding, but we just have to believe in faith. I can't explain to you every part of God and every part of the Bible, but that does not make it untrue. It just means I just don't understand, and I trust God, and I'll follow him, and we will get through this, and we can be better. The waiting does not make us weak or diminish us. Well, as we turn the corner, and we come around the corner with Sarah, and we're finishing the lab, here's what I think she would leave us with. Oh, looking back at the big picture of her life, of having to wait these 25 years, even up to that time of dealing with the fact that she was unable to have an heir for her husband to carry on their lineage, trying to do it herself, sending in her servant. Even after she did that, she tried to fix it. She ended up sending her servant and the son that the Abram fathered away because they were causing problems. She had to send them off. The Bible literally says they packed them up with food and water and sent them on their way. She had to make it through the next 15 years to get to these three guys that were going to come tell them, hey, in a year we're going to be back and you're going to have a son, even though you're 90. And your husband is even older than that. She had to get through all this. But here's what I think she would say. She would tell us that my best can't compare to anything that God has for me. The best that Clint can do does not even hold a candle to what God wants for you. The best that you can do in your lives, you can push God aside, you can try to manipulate God, you can move the puzzle pieces around to try to get what you think is the best outcome, doesn't even compare to what God wants for you. And he proves it when he sent his son to rescue us, to save us, so that we could spend eternity with him. But he also proves it in what he does for us here on earth. And I think Sarah would tell us, don't try to insert your own plans. Who better to let your life happen under than the one who wrote the book on it? See, the problem is we take the pen from God and we begin to write our own story. And then we write ourselves into a corner. We write ourselves into a bad place. And then we blame God. Well, here's the simple answer. Give the pen back. Give that pen back to God and let him do what he does as our Heavenly Father. Let him handle it. Don't be afraid that me waiting is somehow failing, that me being patient is somehow making me weak. The Bible says that patience and perseverance produces strength if you look it up in the New Testament. In James 1, it says that when you walk through that, and this is what we pray over my kids and my daughter every day, James 1 says that when you do that, that you'll become whole and complete and lacking nothing. And that's going to be my prayer for you today. This may surprise you, but I've said this to people many times over the years. People that are trying to do their own thing and wanting to manipulate God and wanting to move pieces and make things happen. I've had people tell me, Clint, I'm just not ready to do it God's way yet. I want to do it my way. And this may surprise you, but I'll actually tell them, okay, fine, go. Go do it your way, but I'm going to tell you, it may be a week, it may be 6 months, it may be a year, it may be 5 years, but you'll be back because you're going to realize you can't do what God does for you. It doesn't work. That's why the people of God and the Israelites went around the mountain for 40 years trying to make God do what they wanted to do, and when they stopped, God began to move them into the promised land on his way, the way he wanted to do it. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah. This is Isaiah 64:4. Since before time began, no one has ever imagined nor heard, no eye has seen, a God like you, God, who works for those who wait on him. See, the problem is two things. We're trying to do the work and we're not waiting. Let God do the work. Focus on what's happening in you, not what's happening outside to you. Let God begin to tend your heart. Let God begin to mend the hurts. There are a lot of you today who are waiting. You're thinking God's never going to show up, but I'm here today to look right at you and tell you that He is. He's not forgotten you. He's right there where you are right now. If it's in a mess, He's in the middle of the mess. If you're stuck at home with the kids, you could have known God for a long time. He's there with you now, just like He was with Sarah for all those years. And you need to know that. Maybe today is the time you decide to trust God, even though you don't understand, even though it seems to take forever. Maybe you're in the place where you need to receive Jesus and you just say, Lord, I just give you my life. I receive your Son. And you can pray a simple prayer like that. It doesn't have to be complicated. Matter of fact, let me pray with you now. Just pray this at home or wherever you're watching. If you're at that place where you just need to let Jesus be Lord, say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you. Thank you for dying for me, for being raised, for sitting at the right hand of the Father, for being who you say you are. Father, I repent of just not getting it right, but today I choose you. I confess you with my mouth. I believe it in my heart that you are my Savior, and I follow you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So you've taken now one step. Let us know. Send us a message on Facebook, on YouTube. You can email us. You can call the office. Let us know so we can walk through this with you. That just like Sarah, you've waited, and the Bible says that God's working in your life. He's moving forward because God has a better plan than you do for your life. For the rest of you, I want to pray for you, and I'm going to pray and bless our offering because your generosity, again, blows me away. But my prayer for you today is peace, patience as we walk through this, strength as we walk through this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for strength for all those within the sound of my voice, for peace. Father God, peace that goes beyond even having to understand this, for patience, having its perfect work in us as we wait on you, as we walk through these times or whatever we're waiting for in our lives. I thank you, Father God, for doing something big in my life, in my family, and in all the people watching today. God, we trust you. Holy Spirit, bring us peace. God, bring us strength as we follow you. Thank you, Father God, that no matter what goes on around us, what happens to us, that you're working in us. And I thank you for that now, Father. Father, I thank you for the generosity of all the people that have given. I thank you that this house, Father God, and all the churches in our area, all those homes that represent the people who are giving and being faithful to their tithe and to offerings, Father God, that you'll bless them, that we'll have more than enough to do everything you've asked us to do. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember, we love you guys. Melanie loves you. Our church loves you. Don't forget to go take your sign if you haven't and go share it with somebody else. And let's continue to be the church. We love you guys. Stay tuned to our social media for any updates, and we'll see you right here next week.